You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Welcome to America. Love it or leave it. Unbelievable. The only thing that's more unbelievable than that, right, is the righteous indignation of all this political bullshit. Seriously, you had people get up on TV yesterday that don't give a shit about the truth, right? Who won't help down at the border and then go down there and scream about it, right? And you had them taken to task by a guy who had a dossier essentially made up about him, right? And is going to occupy all 4 years of his time in the White House, right? So, I don't often defend D. Trump, but if I was him, I'd burn it down. I wouldn't give a shit what anybody thought what I said. If I had a chance to tattoo, right, those four as the face of the Democratic Party and give them broader exposure to the American people, come on, man. In the world that is American politics, that is driven by name recognition and the ability to raise money, right? If you don't do it, you're stupid. Here's another question. How the fuck did Beto O'Rourke convince the people of Texas that he was a formidable candidate? Right? I don't want to bag on the people of Texas early this morning, but are you kidding me? If you listen to that dude for more than 10 minutes, he's about as empty as it gets politically. And he made like a decent run at Ted Cruz and was consulting with Barack Obama about, you know, how to run for the presidency. What in the hell, man? But anyway, I digress. Maybe that fits right in though. The superficial bullshit nature of American politics, right, on display for, and what it's become. And all you see is two sides of the same coin. And, you know, I listened and I read headlines and read some stuff about the president and racist. Look, I don't think Donald Trump's a racist, right? He was a Manhattan liberal at one point in his life. But I do know that he's figured out the whole media thing. And that dude sucks the air out of, he sucks the oxygen out of any place that he shows up at. But again, it's the pathetic nature of American politics, where, I mean, think about it. And that's why, to me, one of the most interesting investigations, I think, far more interesting than, you know, the Trump-Russia, you know, investigation, is going to be the next investigation. And that is, this is the dirty underbelly of how American politics happens. Right? We're going to assassinate Donald Trump politically. And we're gonna pay for it. We're gonna make sure it gets disseminated. And then we're gonna watch it go. And then we're gonna act. Can you imagine the people that know, right? That put together that thing and knew it was garbage. And then the people that paid for it have sat back and watched this whole thing and gone, holy shit, man. Never in a million years did I think, A, I thought it would get out there, and I thought it would marginally hurt the guy. But the guy got elected anyway, and now it's become these hearings. And they've done everything but come looking and asking the hard questions to the people that manufactured it. So to me, that's going to be, and this is what people did. People like John McCain. Who did John McCain give it to, right? Well, he kind of gave it to the FBI. What did the FBI do? Did they alert candidate Trump and all that? No, Comey did the other things. So to me, it'll be very interesting. But this is the murky shit of American political life that I think the rest of us, I know the rest of us find absolutely positively disgusting. This is what substitutes for American government these days. And you want to know what the answer to that is? Yes. Okay? So the game that got played yesterday was the President of the United States, who, I mean, and whether you agree with it or not, in his mind, he's been wronged like 10 son of a bitches. Okay? And I just cleaned that up. He knows what he's guilty of and what he's not guilty of. All right? And so he watches that. And then he sees this whole dossier thing bubble up, and he watches it, and he watches the lies that get told about it. And like all good lies, maybe there's enough truth sewn into it, you know, like, well, he was here on this date, and then this happened, and blah, 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 blah. Okay? And so, he knows. Now, if you were him and you knew, would you not get the flamethrower out every chance you had the opportunity to? And now, after the investigation comes back, right, saying, well, there was no clue. There was, now we're going to have to parade the investigation out in front of God and everybody so we can continue to hurt him, even though the investigation says that he didn't collude, right? I mean, come on. I would. It's a zero-sum game, that one. You either win or you lose. And he's learned how to play the game that he played in the campaign, but he's learned how to play it better, in my opinion. And that is, he sucks every bit of oxygen out of the room. Whoa! Nobody cued the band. And so, anyway, good morning to you. I think we all watched that spectacle. And again, I don't like the whole America love it or leave it thing. I mean, look, if you grew up in the 70s, if you grew up in the 60s, like I did, right? I was 5 years old in 1962, right? I was 10 years old in 1967. And so you heard that, right? That was conservative America. America love it or leave it. You want to protest, you don't like it, right? Get out. So, I don't like it, right? America's a diverse place, and our hallmark is our respect for minority points of view, okay? And that they are included in the government, not forced to run away and whatnot. So, yeah, I watched that. And again, I think the president does a lot of policy things. And here's another thing about, oh, look what he's doing to amnesty on the border. Okay, amnesty on the border is a joke. How many people that come to the border, right, are legitimate seekers of amnesty from persecution? No, they're trying to get a better life, man. They're there for the same reason that I'd be there. I'd be there over and over. Oh, McNamara? Yeah. You put him on the number 4 bus down to wherever the hell he goes. Yeah. And tell him I said hey. Right? That's how they would know my ass. I guarantee you. But asylum? Really? And so what are you going to do? You're just going to say, oh, well, I tried. No, if it was me, you try, right? Every tool you have, right? To do what the American people elected you to do. So anyhow, but again, you watched the spectacle play out yesterday, and now the Democrats are going to be indignant, right? And now what the Democrats have to do, and there I guess there's a resolution in Congress right now that's being contemplated, and it'll pass the House, whatever. It's to condemn the President of the United States for his racist remarks. So now what Nancy Pelosi has to do is she has to somehow or other get the country to buy that this is somehow or other the president, right, being a racist, and she's got to convince that middle third of voters, right, that's what this is. Okay, that's what this is. And she's going to have a tough time, my opinion, right? When those four get on TV and they say the things that they say, that appeals to, what, less than 10% of the population? And it certainly doesn't help the Democratic Party win the middle third. So now Nancy Pelosi's challenge as the leader of the Democratic Party, I think that's what she is, right? Or at least she appears to be, okay, as she, right, attempts to push back and not get, you know, not have her party led by those four that she's not really on good terms with or on great terms with. If you do any reading about what evidently is going on, but in all of that, she's got her work cut out for you, because that's what yesterday was all about. Him attempting to tattoo those four on the forehead of the Democratic Party so that everybody who looks at him sees them. That's what the Democratic Party is today. And he'll run against them. And whoever stands out in front of it, right, will just be the bag holder for that which he's attempted to tattoo. So that's what happened yesterday. And again, I think it's pathetic. But again, you know, 24-hour news cycle, the way the media works, name recognition, money, that's what controls our election. So that's the game you play. And it's, in my opinion, it's pathetic. It's pathetic. But again, I don't blame him. I think he's been the thing that that whoever started it, and then the Democratic Party, you know, led by Hillary Clinton, they paid for it and boosted it. If I was him, I'd be rip shit about all this. And I would, you want me to play by the rules? They certainly didn't. And they've taken it and, you know, they brought it, something that's completely contrived, into the halls of Congress, and they've attempted to destroy my presidency. My legitimately won presidency, they've completely tried to destroy it, all based on a lie. And whether you agree with that or not is irrelevant. That's how he feels. And so he's not going to burn it down. So American politics, I won't even say at its worst, It is what it is. That's the way this game gets played. And it won't get any better. It will only get worse. It will only get worse. And so good morning to you. Let me, I got a bunch of email after the program about UFOs, okay? Now, let me just tell you something about doing content, right? You know, here on the radio, on All Marine Radio, or anywhere. It's moderately discouraging, right? And today will be a good example. In the second hour today, you're going to hear from a retired Marine colonel who works at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. You know it as CSIS. If you know it, you may not know it. It's a think tank in D.C., right? So Mark Kansian works there. I know him as a writer for the Marine Corps Gazette. I've seen his pieces over the years and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, in the second hour, we're going to do a piece called, he did a study, okay? And it's something that I've talked about on this program, if you've listened to it for a long time, and that is, one, the decision to go to war in Iraq, two, the decision to expand the ground war in Afghanistan. Okay, those two decisions. And in these twin American disasters, we've been escorted on those journeys by the general officers and flag officers of the United States military. Right? We are killing ourselves, literally killing the bravest and brightest in this country, some of them, because of these kind of decisions. And where are the general officers and flag officers of the nation? Where are they? Why haven't more of them resigned to protest courses of action that should never have been chosen? And that Afghanistan, I mean, to me, glaring. I mean, Afghanistan, right, Germany and Japan, right, there for a generation, and then hung out for another generation, right? So about 60 years. So, but they were modern industrial nations. How long do you have to hang out to achieve your desired changes or to achieve the quote-unquote desired end state? We fight fights to win in peace, so the peace we have envisioned. And how do we now that the shooting has stopped, how do we go ahead and create that? Okay, well, arguably, in Germany and Japan, 60 years. Does it occur to nobody? I mean, that which you're trying to create in Afghanistan has never existed. So, you've heard me talk about that, and I won't go into it. So, my point is, in the second hour, you'll hear that discussion, right? Military advice and the forever war in Afghanistan. So, Mark Kansian, and we talk about both Iraq and Afghanistan because there's certainly parallels between the decisions made in each conflict. Alright. Now, you try really hard to create as somebody who produces radio stuff, you try really hard to do that. Okay. And you may get email or people react or people call you or whatnot. Or you may not. Okay, now transition to All UFO Radio with Alex Holling, right? The day after and all the rest of it. Yeah. Oh, my God, you cannot shut it off. You cannot shut it off. It's amazing. Absolutely, positively amazing, right? You try as hard as you can to do good content, and it comes and it goes, and some people respond to it. You go ahead and you do a little UFO radio, and the whole place goes crazy. It's discouraging Honestly, maybe I should do all UFO all the time, or at least like on a regular basis. All UFO, because let me tell you, they are crazy, absolutely crazy. And the gist of, you know, the interview yesterday was laughing about, can you imagine, right, the shit show of, you know, let's just say 100,000 people showed up in the desert in September. It's 90-something degrees. They don't have the right shoes on. They don't have the right, they have all this crap with them. And then it gets hot, and now you're going to start evacuating people for heat casualties and other medical conditions. Yeah, it's going to be a straight-up shit show. And so we talked about that yesterday, and among other things. And about, and Alex is a geek, right? He's a UFO kind of guy. So, oh my God. But again, it's just one of the sad realities of doing, content here, that try as hard as you may to do quality stuff, the passion and zeal for UFOs overtakes everything. Let me read you an email. Mac, I thought of you last night when I saw the stories on the news about his strategy. I have to say, I was moderately impressed, given that you don't have a staff preparing, so that must have come out of your little pea brain. Well done, my friend, because I certainly wasn't looking at it in that context. I was looking at it as the president just being a boorish racist. But after thinking about it, and then hearing you speak this morning, to include the dossier and his perspective on it, I think you're right. He would be stupid not to attempt to staple that to Nancy Pelosi and her crew, and whoever else stands in front of it, because the fight in this election is for that middle third. Conservatives have nowhere else to go. Everybody knows that. But I would say right now, as just an independent voter, one of those swing voters that sits in the middle third, I would tell you that the Democratic Party is losing. They are losing because they have gone so far to the left, the average American looks at it and says, what the hell? And I'll end with this. If the Democratic Party does not find a way to reduce the media attention that those four are given on a regular basis, they will certainly lose the election. And I thought that a Democratic victory in the next presidential election would be a foregone conclusion. How stupid of me. Interesting, though. Interesting. Here's another one. I love UFO radio. I can't get enough of it. And it's really great because Alex Hollings talks so fast. He squeezes more content into an hour interview than anybody in the world. You joke, Mac, that he speaks 8 font. He doesn't speak 8 font. He speaks 4 font. That stuff is awesome. I was thinking about it last night laughing. You know how you go to the desert the first time and you realize what a harsh place it is? But when you're a civilian and you look at all that flat ground, you think, oh, let me put my new running shoes on and my bush cover and my blue jeans on. And within 5 minutes, your shoes are getting ready to fall apart. I was laughing. I would buy a ticket and sit in the bleachers to watch that. I would. Here's another one. Cans of beef stew. Hey, Mac, don't forget these invaders of Area 51. They would be the type packing in meals in cans, bottles of liquor, camp stove, brand new backpacks, overweighted, new shoes with blisters in toe. Yep. Yep. Just no Wi-Fi. We'll turn them all around. Be well. Dave and Backwell. You know what? That would do it. Right. They'll go out there and they'll look at their phone like, hey, bro, no cell coverage. What's up with this? Like, yeah, man, it's the middle of the desert. They don't have cell coverage out here. You have to go back towards the base to get any kind of cell coverage. How far is the base? I mean, main size, that's like 20 miles, right?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, look, nobody told me about that. I'm out. Yeah, but I mean, it is discouraging. It is discouraging. There's a young man out in Michigan that's trying to become a Marine Corps lawyer. So I just want to wish Andrew Lorelli all the best of luck. We were telling, when Tim and Jeff were on last week, I had Tim tell the O-Doc Lynch story. And Andrew wrote this. Good afternoon, sir. He wrote this yesterday. The OCS stories from last week show were absolutely hysterical. I was driving home and listening to the podcast and cracking up in my car, especially after your story about leaving the cafeteria. I'd love to hear more when those guys are back on the show. Heck, I'd love to hear more about OCS in general. I'm awaiting a decision this week on my application. The more information, the better, and it makes me appreciate the comic relief even more. Thanks. Respectfully, Andrew Lorelli. So, Andrew, yeah, Andrew's about 32, trying to become a Marine Corps lawyer, and found All Marine Radio, and so he listened. So Andrew, we'll keep our fingers crossed with you. Hopefully you get the place that you want, and all the best of luck to you. Now Tim's story, if you didn't hear it, Tim goes, he joins the Navy. He wanted to be a SEAL in the late 70s. Yeah. And so his dad's a general in the Marine Corps, and he tells this funny story about it. And so when you get to OCS, they make you say, right, if your dad's a VIP, is he part of the federal government? Right. Is he an officer in the military? Is he or she, your mom or dad, are they celebrities? You know, and so the Marine Corps, slowly but surely, if you have anybody that's anybody, they'll get it out of you. Okay. So, you can imagine. So they first look at Lynch. He's like, who's prior enlisted here? Right. Put your hand up. What branch of military? Candidate was in the Navy. What? What'd you do in the Navy? I was a corpsman. Oh, Doc Lynch. So Tim becomes Oh, Doc Lynch. And so men at a later time that day, right, they fill out like, or in the course of the next couple of days, who knows, right? His dad, he fills out the celebrity form. Is your dad's a general in the Marine Corps? And they're like, oh, Doc Lynch, right? Disappointed your daddy. Went in the Navy, now you're trying to redeem yourself. Not in my Marine Corps, Doc. Ain't gonna happen. Ain't gonna happen, bud. Oh, Doc Lynch. But to hear Tim tell it is really, really funny. So, anyway. So we got to talk a little bit about OCS, and then I tell the story about now Major General Timberlake, but at the time Staff Sergeant Timberlake. On a Sunday, me walking the chow hall, I was the only one. The story goes, he looks at me, and I see him. I come through the door, and again, this is 1983. Brown Field, where Officer Candidate School is now, had a little tiny-ass chow hall that had been there probably since they built it. It was a brick building on the north side of the grounds. You walked in, and you went left and right. On this day, they only had the left side open, and they had those, like a table, and they had those swivel chairs that are linked to the table. That's the kind of tables they had. And so there's a bunch of them, and you ate, and you got the hell out of there. And it wasn't very big, so so you learn how to eat fast. Anyway, I come to the door on a Sunday, most everybody else at church, blah, 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 blah. And I don't know if I had duty or what, but I come to the door, and there's Staff Sergeant Timberlake, the only person in Chow Hall, getting his food. And I said, good morning, Staff Sergeant. And he looks at me, and he says, fuck you, McNamara. The humor of the story goes, I never really associated those salutations before that point in my life. But I mean, I was screwed, right? I couldn't get out of the chow hall. He starts talking to me in the chow line. He goes, you're going to DOR on Monday. Cause it was like, we had ended the seventh week. you could drop in after the, right, starting at the eighth week, you could drop. And I said, no platoon sergeant. He said, McNamara, listen to me. You have that paper on my desk. I said, no platoon sergeant, I'm not going to do that. He says, you heard me. That's what I want. And so now he grabs his food and he goes down and eats. And he sits down and eats. I got my food. I don't know what I had, but I know there was a pancake in there. I stuffed that shit in my mouth. I was out of there within 60 seconds. I kid you not. I took like two bites of like scrambled eggs and sausage, stuffed that pancake in my mouth, and slugged a bunch of juice down, swallowed it, wiped my mouth before I stood up so I wouldn't get my ass chewed. And then as I stood up and started to leave, he looks at me and says, leaving kind of quick, aren't you? But anyway, that's the story that Andrew's talking about. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the show. If you didn't just pay attention, Mark Kansian, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, if you're familiar with the Gazette, he's written, I can't remember how many articles that he's written. He's a prolific writer in the Gazette, a former infantry artillery officer, and now a research fellow, senior research fellow at Center for Strategic and International Studies. Anyway, he and I are going to have a conversation about something he wrote. When I saw it, you know, red light started flashing in my head. Whoop, 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 whoop. I will put the link to both the study, and there's a video presentation that they do when they issue the study as part of the public relations campaign. Go ahead and check that out. But essentially it is, what do military leaders need in order, right, to very clearly articulate, we shouldn't do this? What do they need? So he talks about that. And I don't know. I don't know if I agree with him. At the end of the day, I don't know that they need another tool. I think the people that get that high in the corporation, they don't do that by swimming upstream a whole lot. Right? They're successful and they follow rules. And they're good at it. Now, does that make them bad people? No. But, you know, I would think that you need some that you you don't control their, you know, you don't control their mouth. And that institutionally you should sew that in. We need our 10%. So we need our 10% at the lieutenant general, you know, level, at the major general level, at the 10%. We need guys and girls that will tell the unvarnished truth. And we should sew that into the institution. We don't need everybody marching lockstep. That's what we don't need. Anyway, how do you educate around that? How, when somebody gets to that high a level, do you say, all right, now what you got to do is you got to stand up and tell the truth and you're going to have to go away? What? I don't want to go away. You need to go away. You have to. It's your moral obligation to go away. No, it's your moral obligation to tell the truth, and the truth may, in fact, mean that you have to go away. I don't really want to do that. Then don't tell the truth. Yeah, because they're not going to listen to the truth. So that's the rationale. Why tell the truth when I know what it's going to get me? If I tell the truth to Don Rumsfeld, it's just going to get me the same ticket as it got General Shinseki. We all saw it. He's not going to change, and I can do more good on the inside than I can on the outside. And so, therefore, the truth doesn't get portrayed in the marquee when it really needs to be. Because can you imagine if we would have waved off Iraq and said, you know what? We contain the Soviet Union. We can contain these jackasses. But the neocons weren't having that. Okay? They were going to refashion the Middle East. All it's going to take is us to flip Iraq. Shouldn't be too much. Too difficult. And the rationale between, and you know what's interesting? I'll give you a little interesting tidbit that comes out in the interview. And that is the whole Colin Powell, you know, Pottery Barn School of Foreign Relations. Right? So I learned something about this. If you do a search on that, Pottery Barn, Colin Powell, there's two versions of the story. Okay. And that is him saying, you break it, you own it, means you have to fix it. And then there's what Colin Powell says, is that he told the president, you have to know this. If you do this, you will own it. Okay? So one is an admonition. The other one is a premise for the expansion of combat operation. Okay? So it's a pretty interesting, little read. Okay? Political usage. New York Times columnist Thomas L. Friedman's a great writer, claims to have coined the term, having used the phrase the pottery store rule in a February 12, 2003 column. He said he referred to the Pottery Barn specifically in speeches. According to the Washington Post journalist Bob Woodward, Secretary of State Colin Powell cited the rule in the summer of 2002 when warning George Bush of the consequences of his planned action in Iraq. Okay, quote, you are going to be the proud owner of 25 million people, he told the president. You will own all their hopes, aspirations, and problems. You own it all. Privately, Powell and Deputy Secretary of State Richard Armitage called this the Pottery Barn rule. You break it, you own it. Okay, now, Powell goes on to say this, as this whole confusion about what the Pottery Barn rule meant. Okay, did it mean that because we went looking for Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan that we own the entire Afghan problem? Powell, he waves off of that, okay? No. Right? He said, okay, so Powell denies using the term pottery barn, but stated, it is said that I used the pottery barn rule. I never did. Friedman did. But what I did say is that once you break it, you're going to own it, and we're going to be responsible for 26 million people standing there looking at us. And it's going to suck up a good 40 to 50% of the army for years, and it's going to take all the oxygen out of the political environment. That was his advice to the president. So when you frame it, the way Powell discusses it, very different from the way it's tossed out as people discuss the Pottery Barn rule. Right? You break it, you own it. So, anyhow. All right, now, with all that said, Mark Cancian, in about 25 minutes, we'll check the news. Good morning to you. The United States Marine Corps ban now makes today official. Let me read you an email. Mac, American politics does really suck. No matter what the ends, it is just, honestly, the worst show on TV. When you think it can't get worse, certainly it doesn't disappoint. Between the lies that come out of politicians' mouths and the way the media chases them and puts them front and center on our TV on a nightly basis, it's absolutely grotesque. That's the reason I don't watch news anymore. That was one of the better pieces of advice you've given on this program, and I truly appreciate it. I downloaded the Associated Press app to my phone, and I also look at Google News. And so because Google News slowly learns what I want to read, it slowly eliminates things I don't like. And so now I live in a world of my own design, which I truly appreciate, because this stuff doesn't impact me. However, I did see the headlines yesterday. I did watch some of it, and it is disgusting. Our worst angels on display all the time. And just when we think our worst angels can't get worse, they do. Welcome to the world of American politics. Thank you for helping insulate us. And I might add, it was rather insightful of you yesterday. Did somebody tell you that, or did you come to that conclusion on your own? When I was snaking the toilet on, or my main sewer line on Sunday, I got to thinking about why would Donald Trump say something like that? Because I don't believe he's a stupid guy, right? And again, whatever you thought of him as when he got elected, the presidency changes you. It takes you all around the world, right? And you learn about, you see America in a way that you never would have seen it. Right? And it takes you all around the country. And you see all the different incredible things Americans of every color, of every creed, of every origin, right, that you can imagine. And as the president, you would see that. So why would he say something like that? Assuming he's not a stupid person, that's always a safe assumption. With anybody, not just him. And so that's where I concluded that. As I was snaking my main sewer line. That if you assume he's not stupid, then why is he giving those four such a prominent place? And this is the thing that irritated me, because they are in this fight with Nancy Pelosi that was kind of interesting to watch. Her saying that, look, there are only four votes, they have no power, and they're Twitter, whatever. Nancy Pelosi is pretty Machiavellian. She knows where power exists, and that's where she lives. That's what she haunts. And you may hate her. She'll tell you that she is a master strategist of political power. That's what she is. And look, she survived when people said, oh, she won't be the speaker. She will not be the speaker. So, anymore. Anyway, so that's when I came to that kind of conclusion. Yeah. Snaking my main sewer line. It's when I do all my good thinking. It's actually not. But working and cleaning, right, calms my brain. And it helps me think. Anyway, with all that said, good morning to you. No UFO talk today. I'm sorry. United States Marine Corps Band makes this day official. Dedicated to Andrew Lorelli, who's an applicant to become a United States Marine Corps officer candidate. He's an attorney by trade, and he's a listener of All Marine Radio. I just want to say good luck to you, Andrew. I hope that you get a chance to be one of the few, one of the proud. And if it comes to pass that that's not to be, the education that you've received about our culture says a lot about you, and you can embrace that, and you can make that a part of your day every day. So this is dedicated to you. All the best of luck.
Our flag comes first to command. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the weather in Marineland. Currently, it is partly cloudy and 88 in the nation's capital, and that weather spreads down to Quantico, Virginia. Sunny and 91 at Camp Lejeune in the Tar Heel State of North Carolina. It is sunny in 88 at the Marine Corps Base. 29 Palms, also known as the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in the high desert of California. On the coast in Southern California, the only stretch of the Southern California coast that is not built on, Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. It is partly sunny and 68 right now. At Camp Smith in Hawaii, it is dark cloudy, 79, so it's warmed up there a little bit. Okinawa, dark cloudy at 84. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, in the city of Ramadi, it is 100 degrees and sunny. You might have guessed that. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, in Lashkar Gah, the provincial capital, it is clear, dark, and 97 degrees. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is cloudy and 67. Looking for a high of 81 today. 76 tomorrow. Yes. 75 on Thursday. So fired up. Going down to, I got to go to the VA in Long Beach. And then I'll leave from there and drive down to San Diego today. And do some, I got to drive probably about 4 or 5 hours to do a 30-minute sound and video check. But you know what? If you don't want shit screwed up in the morning and doing that stupid dance, then it's what you got to do. So post-traumatic winning going to happen tomorrow and Thursday at Marine Corps Recruit Depot in San Diego, California. So I'm fired up about that. And I get a chance to meet Peyton Davis. And she'll fly in on Wednesday night, and then she'll be a part of the program on Thursday. So pretty cool stuff going to happen this week relative to post-traumatic winning. So I'm fired up about it. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. On your home for it, we'll check the top headlines very quickly. And then Mark Kansian, Colonel, United States Marine Corps, retired type, just did a study on that was released a week, maybe 10 days ago, from CSIS and military advice in the forever war in Afghanistan. And we're going to talk about that today. How do we prevent that from happening? So something near and dear to the program's heart. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara,
and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk you to a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah.
There she is, Peyton Davis. We'll check the news here. Right. And I'm running a little bit late, so I'm supposed to be better as a time manager than this. But, truth be known, I'm not. So sometimes I used to get in trouble, but they'd get pissed at me. But people love my show, so they couldn't get too pissed for me, right? They couldn't get pissed at me. In a story that's been in the news for a while, the deadline has been extended for senior service members to transfer education benefits to their family. Now, this is one of the greatest benefits for the post 9/11 GI Bill. And I mean, it gone from I don't know what GI. Hold on, maybe I could look that up. GI Bill education benefit usage. What do you think that is? What VA education do I qualify? Government, blah, 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 blah. Education, training, home, annual benefits report. GI Bill overview. Doesn't say GI Bill education benefit usage. Anyway, I would say. What percentage of people actually use that benefit? So it went from something that you can advertise, but you know, a lot of people that have their degrees, they don't go back to school. I mean, they have families, so they don't have time. Some do, but you know, what percent use that? And then, but when you can give it to your kids, that number goes up, right? That comes with cost, and it's not cheap. Okay? It's not cheap. So, anywho, that's in the news. I think it sucks because it's a great benefit. And so now they want to use it as a recruiting and a retention tool. And if you served honorably, you can't do it. I think that's bullshit. And so why would you take that benefit from us? Well, you know, we felt guilty during the war, and so that's why it got put in there, but it's pretty expensive. I don't know if you know, but just think, every person who gives that away, that's essentially, let's just say it's, $20,000 a year. That's $80,000 plus a living stipend of, let's just say that's another $1,000 a month for 36 months. That's over $110,000. That's $1 million for every people that, 10 people that use it. Yeah, well, that's bad business for the DOD. Right? So, yeah, we felt guilty during the war because there's a lot of people getting killed, but it ain't that way now. So we don't think we need to do that. Got it. Thanks. Later, bro. VA to expand, another headline that Stars and Stripes, VA to expand veterans' access to private medical care. What? Wait a minute. Privatization. I thought that was a bad thing. Oh, no. You mean my local doctor can look at my hemorrhoids? Holy shit. The Department of Veterans Affairs on Thursday will launch a major expansion of veteran access to private doctors, a reform President Donald Trump has promised since his 2016 campaign, but that some stakeholders think has been rushed. And again, I don't get the whole stakeholder, you know. Who are these stakeholders? The Legion, the VFW, why don't they want us to be able to go see our doctors? I don't get that. The VA Mission Act, which was signed into law last June, goes into effect tomorrow, increases number of veterans who are eligible to receive private health care, private sector health care, from 8% to 40% of the VA's 9.5 million patients. That includes me. Okay? And I'm going today to the VA in Long Beach. Always humbling, though, because you see older guys and they don't have any other health care. It's pretty sobering. Anyway, leading up to the rollout, top officials, including VA Secretary Robert Wilkie, not confused with Libby and Luke Weichel that live in Alabama, that I used to call Wilkie for maybe a year or so, not to be confused with them. Anyway, Secretary Wilkie was confident about the implementation, and anticipating only minor hiccups. All right. Several veterans organizations that helped shepherd the Mission Act through Congress said they were kept in the dark about the implementation plans and don't know what to expect following tomorrow's launch. In April, some House lawmakers, a veterans group, suggested the VA delay the expansion, citing potential information technology issues. Okay, so who's eligible? The final rules for the new program were published Wednesday in the Federal Register. That means today. They stipulate veterans who must drive more than 30 minutes to reach their VA mental health or their primary care provider or wait longer than 20 days for an appointment will be given the option of a private doctor. Okay, hold on. Let me just see how long it's going to take me to get to the VA in Long Beach. Your location is going to take me 2 hours to get to MCRD from here, yeah, depending on traffic. VA Medical Center, it's 15 miles. Okay. Time, 23 minutes. Depending on how I go, it could be 37 or 36 minutes. But if I go straight up the 405 and there's no traffic, 23 minutes. I bet you I could get through. Okay, so there you have it. More than 30 minutes or wait more than 20 days. That's the criteria. And then you could see your local doctor. I mean, hello? Yeah, why not? And who does that hurt? Who does that hurt? Doctors bitch about not getting reimbursed. Let me tell you, not getting reimbursed is a pain in the ass. I'm not a rich guy, and I fight with people about travel, my travel, and then paying it back. Man, it's brutal, right? You lay out $700 to go ahead and to go speak someplace, and then you can't get anybody to file a travel claim, which are all supposed to be filed within five days of the conclusion, of your temporary additional duty, which mine is classified. So anyway, I'm sympathetic. All right. The Navy now has freed enlisted women to apply for submarine duty at any time. They will now accept applications continuously from female enlisted sailors to serve in non-nuclear rates. Rate is a job. Said in an admin message signed by Vice Admiral John Noel, the Chief of Naval Personnel. So congratulations to all you women out there. You guys get to go on submarines now. Air Force sends F-35s and F-15s to Europe in a combat readiness test. There you go, Vlad. North Korea hints it may restart nuclear tests over the U.S.-South Korea military exercises. So that dance goes. Proposed law calls on Pentagon to consider more troops and surveillance in the Baltic region. Customs and Border Protection denies Marine Corps veteran entry for scheduled citizenship interview. So, film an 11 on that one. New squad marksmanship rifles expected to be in the Army hands by early next year. It is a is the G28. Is a military version of the civilian semi-automatic MR-308 competition rifle and would give infantry and other close combat units a better chance of penetrating enemy body armor, which is not a small issue if you're going to fight in those environments, right? And we've talked about this. The rifle, a modified 7.62 NATO round, the G28, will be manufactured in Oberndorf, Germany, which is about an hour southwest of U.S. European Command headquarters in Stuttgart. The HKSDMR system will add much-needed capabilities to virtually every squad in the Army. Whoa! Didn't the Marine Corps get wirebrushed for doing this shit? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Well, come on. The Army should get wirebrushed, then. Why are you taking this? Why are you... This is such a... Yeah, whatever. I told you USNI always has good factual reporting, right? Okay, so here are the top four stories at USNI this morning. One is a report to Congress on Iran sanctions. That might be worth a read, eh? I agree. Number two, Esper officially nominated to lead the Pentagon. SecNav Spencer now is acting SecDef. So congratulations to Richard Spencer. I'm still supposed to get on your calendar, bro. Make that happen. Another Navy thing. Fleet finding new sleep-sensitive watch schedules boosts crew performance and efficiency. I think that's bullshit, but we've already gone through that a few times, so I want to elaborate on that, right? Look, we've been sailing ships around the world forever, okay? It's an act of discipline to make sure you get sleep and aren't playing video games and watching movies when you should be sleeping. And somebody should supervise that shit. And if you're not, then you get what you get. So to me, the Navy's looking for a different cure for what is a lack of discipline. And let me tell you, a lack of discipline is rampant in the United States Navy. Pains me to say it, it is the truth. Until they get after that, right? Until they get after that, Navy will be what it is, which is an undisciplined mob driving ships around the world. That might be overstated, okay? All right. But not that much overstated. We watched them. We've seen their special ops people. It's all the same line, lack of discipline. All right, so Secretary of Navy temporarily takes over as the head of the Department of Defense while Congress considers Secretary Esper, who used to be Secretary of the Army, his nomination to be the Secretary of the Army. And once that happens, Spencer goes back down to SecNow. All right, so now that you understand all of that. 98-year-old Marine veteran injured in the Battle of Okinawa receives Purple Heart. The mortar crewman suffered a blast concussion in May of 1945. Now, at the time, that would not allow him to get the Purple Heart. Now, I question, though, how is he awarded the Purple Heart now? If that wasn't the criteria for awarding the medal at the time, how do you now go ahead and allow it? We'll investigate right here. The story's taking longer than I wanted. 98-year-old Marine veteran. And it says injured. Shouts of oorah echoed Friday when a 98-year-old World War II Marine Corps veteran received a Purple Heart nearly 75 years after he was injured in combat. The battle cry for Anthony Tony Procaccini, who served during the Battle of Bloody Okinawa during World War II, according to the Detroit Free Press. The mortar crewman suffered a blast concussion on May 14, 1945, and spent weeks recovering. He was joined by more than 25 relatives at Fort Dearborn in Michigan. I'm sorry that my wife, Dawn, my wife of 74 years, couldn't be here to share this moment with us. She died in 2018. We know the process of 75 years was a long time, but it was worth the effort because it gave me the opportunity to share the results with my grandkids. The Marine Corps veteran had submitted the paperwork for his Purple Heart when World War II ended. When it never came, he continued with his life until a few years ago when a family inspired him to file the paperwork. There were still delays. That's when he and other World War II veterans reached out to Commandant Robert Neller, a Michigan native, through that, U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell, and Senator Gary Peters attended the ceremony along with some veterans who served with, holy smokes, Procaccini in the Pacific. He expressed his gratitude to the Marine Corps. What I say is Semper Fi, and God bless America. It's a good story. But again, I didn't know. It's interesting because that was a big subject of debate during Desert Storm, Desert Shield. Not Desert Storm, Desert Shield. In Iraq, was getting knocked out or a concussion, was that a wound? And the answer was no. Well, it's never been a wound. A wound is a wound. Your body penetrated, not your brain scrambled. But that has since been changed. Top 5 stories in Early Bird. We'll take a break, and then you're going to hear from Mark Kansian. Yeah. Yeah, and let me tell you, interesting interview. He's obviously a smart guy, so I try to keep up with him. One, Navy Secretary temporarily takes over as Pentagon top job. Two, North Korea says nuclear talks at risk if U.S.-South Korea exercises go ahead. Piss off. Number three, top Iran diplomat says talks on ballistic missiles are possible. Right? This is such bullshit. Right? They keep trying to chum the water. Right? If the sanctions are lifted. Ain't happening. Number four, service academy graduates could see longer military obligations. Right? Senators want to look at the service obligations that graduates of U.S. military academies incur for the first time in more than 20 years. Normally, that's a 6-year active obligation, right? But as we talked about how expensive it is to put somebody through college and why the DOD is trying to reel in those education benefits for career service members. You can't do it if you spend a career with us. But if we need you to reenlist, you can. All right. Since the last time the committee met, the real cost per graduate has increased by 20%. So are they going to increase the cost or the service time 20%? So by another year? So instead of 6 years, it would be 7. Graduates of the service academy must serve 5 years on active duty, and the remainder can be served in the reserve. Different careers in the military may require different time commitments after graduation, however. So maybe it goes to 6 active. Who knows? All right. And then the fifth story in Early Bird is Pentagon nominee Esper, a former Raytheon lobbyist, must extend recusal, says Senator Elizabeth Warren. Also, keep an eye on Turkey. All right, they took delivery of the S-400 system from Russia. So keep an eye on that. They were part of the whole F-35 thing. They will no longer be a part of it. And that will send Turkey on a different trajectory relative to NATO involvement, which gets called into question, and a whole host of other things, which is where President Erdogan is leading Turkey. So, anyway, I don't think it serves I don't think it serves Turkey at all. But it has been the march of Turkey for a while. So, all right. When we come back, we're going to you're going to hear from a smart guy. And what you're going to hear is you're going to hear Mark Kansian, Colonel, infantry type, and you're going to hear him talk about. Hold on. About what flag officers and general officers need, what kind of tools they need to very clearly articulate that this is not in the nation's best interest. So you're going to hear that discussion. So pretty interesting, to say the least. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.